There are some fundamental things about writing that you learned from John Berryman that are still you can still find in your work?
I don't know. I think the thing that I would say that the two things I learned from John, there were a couple of things. One was that I encountered him in the 50s, in the middle of the Cold War. In fact, I remember when I was his student, the Army McCarthy trials were going on, and that was filling the newspapers. And I remember John coming into class once, and the students being kind of full of that kind of stuff. And his saying, "It was, you know, let's knock that off." And although he's a very political person, very interested in that kind of thing. And he just said, "Look, we're going to talk about poetry today. That's what this class is about." And he sort of said, took a newspaper from somebody and held the headline up, and he said, "You know, a year from now, this all this stuff's dead. You know, it's new fools, new clowns in Washington. There'll be a new administration. There'll be new clowns. There'll be new griefs. There'll be new troubles." And he happened to have a book of Keats with him, and he said, "This stuff will be the same. This stuff will remain. This is as near permanent as things come. This is silly and temporary, and you just learn to live with it and struggle against it as best you can. Don't hope to end it or triumph against it." All right, I learned that from him. I think he was right. Another thing was he would voice very openly, if he was in a friendly situation, he would voice very openly very harsh criticism on his own writing. He was very unsatisfied with what he had written at that point. He made it very clear that I remember a guy trying to pay him a compliment. He was talking about a Welsh poet of the Second World War, Alan Lewis, who was a great love of his and of mine at the time. And I knew very few people who ever read Lewis, and John had, and we started talking about his poems. And this guy interrupted with a war poem, started to praise a war poem that John had written. And John just said, "You know, my poem's trash by comparison. We're talking about a great poem. You know, hey, cut that out." And he, you know, he didn't like that kind of false flattery. He didn't. I think at that point in his life, he looked at his poetry with enormous objectivity. He was very hard on it, and he recognized that there was a, you know, he had a long way to go before he wrote something that would matter. I think I learned that from him. I'm not sure I learned anything else. Oh yeah, one other thing. That was respect for the American language. John loved the American language. He loved to hear it reflected in poetry. He loved to have people talking in poems, as you can see in the Dream Songs. He loved to have that talk played out against a kind of scenario of great eloquence. And suddenly people would break in and say, "Kiss my ass," or something like that. You know, they'd use the, and he loved that kind of language. He loved American slang. John, in a way, was a good boy who was, you know, he was a sort of Tom Sawyer in love with the role of Huck Finn. He wanted to be a naughty boy. He wanted to be outrageous and somebody he wasn't. And he wanted to be able to naturally use the language that wasn't his, because he had a kind of phony English accent. He came from Oklahoma, but he actually sounded like he was from Oxford or Cambridge. I read with him once in Los Angeles, and two people came up to me after the reading, a man and a woman, and they were John and I and Tom Gunn read. And they had an argument over who was the Englishman, Tom Gunn, who was trying to sound like an American, and John Berryman, an American trying to sound like an Englishman. And I was just going to break the tie, you know, who was it? And I said, "Well, Gunn." And Gunn was dressed like an American. I think he had a sweater at Stanford on it or something. And John was dressed like, you know, like a guy just stepped out of Burberry's. And I said, "No, he's the Englishman." And they, and he once said to me, when I asked him where he came from, and he said, "Someplace in Oklahoma." And I looked at him, "Oklahoma?" And he said, "You think I'm a phony, don't you?" And I didn't even answer the question. It was so obvious. Of course he was. He was a very endearing man at that time in his life, too. So I did learn, I think, those three things from him. But I think the most powerful lesson was, you got to be hard on your work. You know, if it's going to last, because you can't trust anybody else. You can ask other people to help you be hard on your work, but finally, if you set the tone of "let's be gentle with my work," they're going to take the key from you. If you set the tone of "come on, let's be tough with my work, I want to make it better," then most of them will go along with you, or they'll try. I think as a writer, you know, honesty is something you earn from other people. I got a letter once, I was living in Spain, and a guy sent me a book of poems, and he said to me, he was a close friend of mine at the time. He said to me, it was his second book, if you don't tell me that this book is better than my first book, I'm going to cut my throat. All right, that's a metaphor. I'm sure he didn't mean it. It wasn't really, but he was going to be terribly depressed. Well, I read the book, and it was nowhere near as good as his first book. And I said to my wife, I don't think this guy deserves the truth. He set me up to lie to him, and I'm going to lie to him. Fuck him. I mean, you earn the truth by saying, tell me the truth. What do you think of this? And when the guy says, I think your first book was better, you say, thank you. Even if you want to break his jaw, if you feel it's in good faith, you say, thank you. And I think I learned that. That was the lesson I learned from John. He was very tough on his own work, probably tougher than any critics.